We're so glad you're here today to celebrate with us. This all week long, I've had a busy week, and I've had to deal with some things that we all have to deal with, both circumstantially and physically. But God has been faithful, and my heart has been anticipating this day all week long. I wish I could have had one of those smooth weeks with a lot of time spent just in seeking the Lord and just meditating on what this day represents. But I didn't have that kind of week. I had another kind of week. But today, on our way in, we were praying, and my prayer was, Lord, you know the busyness of the week, things we couldn't circumvent. There was no way around the things that we had to do, just had to do. But one thing is absolutely sure. The Lord knows my heart, and all week long, my heart has been anticipating this day to celebrate this great event that is the center point, the foundation stone of our faith, without which our faith would crumble to the ground like one of those house of cards. This is such an important holy day. It is not a holiday. It is a holy day. Amen. Praise God. And we're glad you're here to celebrate with us. And we're just not going to let the fact that we've been busy stop us. There is no service, of course, tonight because of the busyness of this day. And one of the things that I have really come to recognize about what God asks of us, the only thing he asks is that his kingdom be first. He leaves us a whole lot of time left. He leaves us a whole lot of material things for ourselves and our own indulgence. He's such a generous God. But he asks this one thing of us, and that is to put his kingdom first. And after that, we can just have the time of our life and not sin. Can you say amen? How many know you can have the time of your life without sinning? I used to think you couldn't. And some of you, and such were some of you, can you say amen? But I found out that you can. Amen. I like the bumper sticker on one of these contemporary young Christians, and some of them are kind of weird, but this one I liked. It was just plain out straightforward. It said, you know, you've seen the negative one. Life's a, I won't say it, you know, and then you die. Well, this one said, life's a hoot, and then you die. And then there's a scripture about heaven underneath. Life's a hoot, and then we go to heaven. Praise God. What a different perspective if you know Jesus as your personal Savior. John, we're glad you're here today. I know it's been trying. I was at the funeral yesterday, and his dear mother, and I didn't know what a dear mother she was until everybody came forward. Don't just celebrate the fact that you have life eternal. Celebrate the fact that death has died, saith the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, that's what Paul meant when he said, oh, death. This is after the resurrection now. This is after the crucifixion and the resurrection. Death! He called him out. The one everybody's running from, Paul called him out. Death! Where's your sting? Grave! Where's your victory? Death has been swallowed up in victory. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be you steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For you know your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Can you say amen? Thanks be unto God which gives us the victory through Jesus Christ. Celebrate eternal life and celebrate the fact that death cannot harm you and harm me. You say, well, Brother Venable, there's Christians dying all over the world. I beg your pardon. He that believeth in me, he shall never die. They're changing locations. Hallelujah. They're getting rid of a bone bag that's mortal, and they're putting on that is immortal. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. There's no sting in that. Praise the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Hallelujah. What a difference. Praise God. Brother Taylor, would you come and lead us in prayer today that we might celebrate both our life in Christ, his life in us, and the fact that death was conquered when Jesus rose. on the third day.
Hallelujah. Let's give him some praise. Come on, let's give the Lord some praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your great love and your mercy, Lord. Lord, for you died that we might live. Hallelujah. Lord, we come today to celebrate your resurrection, Lord. You died, you died that we might live, Lord. And you rose for our justification, Lord. God, have mercy upon us today, Lord. Move by thy spirit today, Lord. Just let your perfect will be done, Father. God, we claim the peace of God. We claim the victory of God. We claim your great deliverance, Lord. And God, we claim souls for you, Lord. Save some souls today, Lord. Have your way. Move by thy spirit, Lord. Let your divine will be done in this service, Lord. We praise and magnify you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, and for the glory of God, amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. He's risen. He's risen indeed.
Thank you, Father. Don't think because salvation is a free gift that it isn't so very, very costly. Amen. It's the precious blood of Jesus. That's the ransom price. And I'm so glad for that today. Hallelujah. I'm so glad I have redemption through his blood. Not through some religious system, but through the blood of Jesus Christ himself. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. The blood of the first victim of murder cried from the ground for justice and judgment. My blood shed on the cross cries forgive to all who will receive it. Forgive and forget, says the blood of Jesus Christ. I believe the anguish of hell is not going to be only in the flames. That's what we see first and foremost about that horrible place of banishment and punishment. I believe it's going to be the anguish of knowing that salvation was so powerful, wonderful, and offered so freely at such a cost. And we chose darkness over light and sin over Christ. And what an anguish that would be. Even if there was no flame in the fire, the anguish, I'm not saying that's what it is. There is a physical flame there. There is a real fire in a body that can't be consumed by it. But there's going to be an anguish in the heart that I believe matches. What's happening on the inside is going to match the anguish on the outside. I'm so glad today that I didn't let the devil beat me out of his offer by offering me the kingdoms of this world. Amen. And all the self-indulgent sin that I could handle. I'm telling you something. There's no sin worth this salvation. How many were lost before you got saved? Amen. How many have been there, done that? So you know what sin is all about. And you know that there's some temporary pleasure in sin. If there wasn't, nobody would be doing it. Can you say amen? But it's only temporary. It's passing. But this is for real. And this is forever. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, my Redeemer lives. He's here. He's here. This is the gospel. This is what I've told you to go and tell everyone who will listen, even to the nations of the world. And because the gospel is preached in this place, I am sending it to the nations of the world. For I have sent my Son to be the Savior of all mankind. All that will come, yea, all that will drink, yea, the Spirit bids them come. Something so fantastically wonderful. I don't know a better way to frame words than to say it's fantastically wonderful. Happened in Jerusalem over 2,000 years ago. that is still impacting the world that we live in the 21st century. Over 2,000 years later, something happened in Jerusalem. It's a historic event. Actually, it's a cardinal fact in Scripture. You can't get away from it in the Bible. It's the centerpiece of the Christian faith as far as validating what Jesus did at the cross. It wasn't the virgin birth of our Savior. And it wasn't even the crucifixion of our Lord. Because neither Christmas nor Calvary would have any relevance if death could hold him. Without this event, both Christmas and Calvary would be long forgotten. If death could hold its victim, his sacrifice was not accepted. His blood was not holy or pure enough to sprinkle the mercy seat. Our sins, Paul said, would still be in our sins. The dead would not be raised. The preachers of the gospel would be found to be liars. We'd be without God and without hope in this present world. The Bible said, if Christ be not risen from the dead in spite of the virgin birth, in spite of his death on the cross, if he didn't raise for our justification, to validate what happened, to show that God really did accept his blood sacrifice, we're of all men most miserable. Amen? So without the resurrection, that's why this is such an important, and that's why they attack it so much. If death could hold him, if his mission failed. So this is the most important event in human history. And it's the resurrection of Jesus Christ. What happened on that first Easter, I hesitate to use the term. I mean, we've got such a blend of pagan stuff with this holy day. And I mean, if I could teach on that, I won't, because it's going to take away our joy. Their nuttiness is going to take away our joy. But I just would want you to stay focused. I am going to teach on these things so that you'll understand. And we can keep that line of separation between what is pagan and what is Christian. Because the devil wants it all mixed up, messed up. But this is so pure and so powerful. We don't want the enemy to ever be able to mess up this fact that is so wonderful. So many historians down through the years have qualified and requalified what happened at Jerusalem over 2,000 years ago as the most important event in human history. There's nothing like it in all of world history from that time back or from that time forward. In all of recorded human history, most historians agree that, and this is historically, event. This is not just a Christian thing. This is in history. It's a cardinal fact in Scripture, but it is a historical fact in time. This occurred. And there's more evidence that he rose from the dead than there is that many of the people you hear about, Aristotle and Plato and all of these, they base it on documents that were written around them at the time. And one writer said, if Jesus was secular, if he wasn't holy, if he wasn't the Son of God, if he was just a secular personality in historic time, there would never be any controversy about him at all because of all the documentation. But because he said he was the Son of God, and he said, you tear down this temple in 3 days, I'm going to raise it up again. Can you say, man, he's the most controversial figure in all of human history is Jesus Christ. Amen. But he lives today. Praise God. Something happened in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. We're going to receive an offering today, and we're just going to hear a song about a lamb rising in Jerusalem. Heavenly Father, bless this offering as we give to your work. Not only what we see here and what we receive here, but what goes out of here to all over America and to nations of the world. We thank you for an open door to proclaim your truth. And Father, we are set for the defense of the gospel. Father, not just by speaking to others who disagree, Father, but speaking, Lord, the truth to your people. In Jesus' name, bless this offering. Bless this people. Bless the rest of this year with many souls. We'll give you the praise, honor, and glory, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. There rose a lamb in Jerusalem. I wasn't there either when they crucified him. I wasn't there when he arose, but I was there when he saved me. Amen. Hallelujah. I'll never forget. We used to sing that old camp meeting hymn, I never shall forget the day when all the burdens of my soul just rolled away. Amen. Church couldn't do that for me. I'd been drugged to church for years. But when I met Jesus, it was all different. Amen. When I went to church, I discovered girls at 12. I mean, they were immaterial. They were really, you know, no big deal. At 12, something happened. They call it puberty. And I discovered girls, and I mean discovered girls. Amen. And so I went to church, man, when I got ready for church, since I had to go anyway. I figured it's not much fun sitting around there waiting on Dad to get done, you know, and get me to get my milkshake on the way home. So, you know, there's girls there. And I remember when I got my first little note that said from a girl who knew a girl who said, so-and-so likes you. Man, I'm telling you, when I got that note at 12 years old, woo, I was ready to go to church. Yeah, get my freak on and go to church. Amen. There's girls at church and they pretty and one of them likes me. Amen. I had a whole different motive for going to church. 12 years old, going to church with that motive, looking at that clock. And some of you got one. Anyway, looking at it already. Ready to get out of that place because none of this meant anything personally to me. I mean, I believed there was a God, a supreme being. I didn't know. I believed there was a Jesus Christ. But I didn't understand the gospel. I'd never, ever been convicted or drawn to him. His reality hadn't settled in my heart. And I remember sitting on the back row. I had that note in my pocket. From a girl, another note from a girl. Amen. I knew that my dad would get me a milkshake on the way home, and I was watching that clock, and we went to a Pentecostal church, and I knew church wasn't over when they said it was over. I knew it was over when they finally quit. So I was just hoping this time maybe it was really over. And I thought it was over, and the man said it was over. And they'd already had people in the altars and people prayed for, and it was, you know, time was marching on, and I thought, boy, the milkshake, and then I'd go home, read this note again, and look at myself in the mirror again. Amen. And boy, I was standing up. They asked my dad after they started writing me notes, has your son been to military school? Because when it come time to stand up, I stood like this. Because I was kind of short, you know. Them girls was all taller than me, and I kind of trying to get me some height and some shoulders out here. Has your son been to military school? No, he's going through puberty. Anyway, that was me, and that was my motive for being in church. And I remember they said it was over, but there was three ladies said, we feel the Lord wants us to sing a song. One of them sat down at the piano, and two of them gathered around the piano, and they begin to sing softly and tenderly. Jesus is calling for you and for me. Over life's ramparts, he's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Come home, come home, come home. Jesus is calling. And Jesus called me. I'm going to tell you, I'm just a poor preacher up here. I can preach all day long. There's power in the Word of God. The Holy Spirit is here. But if Jesus ever called you, you will know it. You will never forget it. Just one touch from the King changes everything. Amen. And it changed everything. Now, I have to admit, I still like girls. One man said amen. The rest of you better. Amen. If you want any of that ham when you get home, praise God. Amen. Ain't no ham in that doghouse. Amen. And dog biscuits, that's not what you want to eat for Easter. Hallelujah. But I went to church with a different attitude from that day forward because I knew this is real. This happened to me. And it happened to me at 12 years old while they were singing, God touched my heart. He drew me to himself. It is an event that I will never ever forget. I'm going to talk just a moment about the result of the resurrection of our Savior, how it should be impacting us right here, right now. The first thing that I want to mention to you is a word called confirmation. If Jesus wasn't the Son of God, then he was the greatest fraud that ever lived. And a lot of people believe he is. You might as well get used to it. You go to a Christian site where there's room for comments, or a blog where there's room for comments. The naysayers are all going to show up, and they're going to comment on how foolish your faith is, how foolish my faith is, that we are stupid people to believe. And I don't know how the stars have such clout. These people that we put up on pedestals because they act in movies. They don't act so nice outside their role-playing roles. But one lady was on one of the talk shows I forget her name, but anyway, she said, do you believe, and this was the former president, he said, do you believe that we have a president that actually, can you believe that in America, this is wised up America, that we would have a president that actually believes in creation, that God created, that we have a president that's that dumb, that's out of touch, that is out of touch with reality. Well, you know, you want to remind her that everybody here is not atheistic. Amen. There's some people here that believe there is a God, and that he did create heaven and earth, and I personally believe in the Big Bang Theory. God said, let there be a firmament, and bang, there was a firmament. Can you say amen? No problem with me. Through faith, we understand. Isn't that amazing? Once God touches you and illuminates you and enlightens you, amen. And it's not just that you check your brain. It's just your brain suddenly begins to think differently. It said through faith, we understand in Hebrews chapter 11. Through faith, we understand. What everybody else can't possibly comprehend, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the words of his mouth. Hallelujah. We don't have no problem with that. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. And the things that we see are not made by anything that you can see. An invisible but mighty God, hallelujah, has done all of this. Confirmation. The resurrection of Jesus testifies of the deity of Jesus Christ. Only God could say, destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I will raise it up again. Jesus was God incarnate. He was God in the flesh. He was the second person of the Godhead made flesh. He wasn't just a good man. He was God in flesh. Emmanuel, God, therefore, with us. Romans 1:4 says, destroy the... John 2:19 says, destroy this temple, his body he was speaking of. They didn't get it. And in 3 days, I'll raise it up. Romans 1:4 said, Jesus was declared to be the Son of God by his resurrection from among the dead. The deity of Christ is both actual and it is eternal. I would not want to put my faith in any other place than the true God for my salvation. Can you say amen? I don't want to put it in a religious system. I don't want to put it in what some man's ideas are. I want to put it in the Christ. I want to put it in the one who validated everything that he said with his resurrection. There's a testimony of history here. There's a historian that wrote about the Christian era, who lived in that era. And by the way, he was concerned about the things he was writing. There's no evidence that he was Christian that I know of, but he was perfectly honest in what he was beholding, and he respected the Christian faith. He may have been Christian, but the point is, he had Rome to deal with, just like the apostles, and they were persecuting Christians. So for him to say what he did and say it honestly wasn't easy for him to say. It put him actually in jeopardy to say it. Josephus is his name. And this is what he said in his Antiquities. I like this. And I'm going to quote him from the first century. Listen. Now there was about this time Jesus, a wise man, if it be lawful to call him a man. For he was a doer of wonderful works, a teacher of such men as received the truth with pleasure. He drew over to him many Jews and also many of the Greeks. This man was the Christ. And when Pilate had condemned him to the cross upon his impeachment by the principal man among us, those who had loved from the first did not forsake him, for he appeared to them alive on the third day. The divine prophets having spoken these and thousands of other wonderful things about him. And even now, the race of Christians so named from him has not died out. I want you to say with me this morning, we're still here. And he's still alive. I want you to say that again. We're still here. And he's still alive. Deal with it. Can you say amen? That race of Christians didn't die out because they crucified their leader. Because on the third day he arose from the dead. Hallelujah. That's why we're still here. See, he knew the persecution that had come upon them. And he said, but they're still here. Hallelujah. I like that. And he is still alive. I'm telling you, something happened in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. We're still here. And he's still alive. Hallelujah. Let's give him praise. Almost done. God is here. Hallelujah. Woo! He's still alive. Hallelujah. There's confirmation. He was who he said he was. He did what he said he could do. That means every word that he spoke has been given confirmation and validity. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Speaking of Jesus, Paul writes, and this is declaration. Not only do we have confirmation, we have declaration. Speaking of Jesus, as Paul puts it so beautifully in Romans 4:25, he says of Jesus, who was delivered for our offenses and who was raised again for our justification. He was delivered up to die for our offenses, wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquity, but he was raised for our justification. It would be impossible to have confidence that the Father had accepted the work of Jesus on the cross had he not arisen from the dead. I believe the moment that Jesus cried, it is finished. One word in actually not the Greek, but in the Aramaic, tetelestai, it is finished. I believe God accepted all of it. There are those out there teaching today, I don't know where they get it from. They can't get it from this book without twisting it. Amen. It was either finished or it wasn't finished. He didn't say it's almost done. It's almost accomplished. He said it is finished. Tetelestai is the Greek word. And that word tetelestai is the word that was used when you paid off a mortgage. They stamped it with a seal in the Aramaic. Tetelestai. And if you had a mortgage stamped with a seal that said tetelestai, which means paid in full. One word translated by three words that we might understand it in the New Testament. Amen. Paid in full. And if they came back and asked you for one more payment, would you give it to them or would you whip out that receipt? Amen. Come on, what would you do? If it says, if it's a legal document stamp paid in full, what would you do? Would you pay another payment or would you whip it out? Man, I'd whip it out. Praise God. Amen. You know what they did? Ancient archaeology in that land, they found a jar buried, sealed, and the document inside had never got any weather or air to it. It was perfectly preserved. They opened the jar. At first, they dated the jar. And they dated it somewhere in the early Christian era, the time of Christ. 2,000-year-old jar they dug up. They opened the lid and pulled out a parchment sealed. They opened it up, and it was a deed to property that someone had been making payments on. It had a word stamped on it. Tetelestai. And when Jesus came to that point in His suffering on the cross, He cried, Tetelestai! It's accomplished. Paid in full. And I believe at that moment His blood didn't just sprinkle the earth anymore. Amen. Spiritually speaking, it sprinkled the mercy seat in heaven in our behalf. And God looked at that blood. Hallelujah. And He said, I accept that payment. He has paid the ransom for the sins of the world. If you don't go to heaven, it isn't because the price hasn't been paid for you to get there. It's because you haven't accepted the one that died for you on the cross. Hallelujah. When John saw Him, he said, Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. If you live on this planet, a price has been paid to redeem you. Whether you ever come to Christ or not, a price has been paid. One of the reasons we can intercede so powerfully for the lost is because the blood of Jesus has already been shed for them. God has a claim on them whether they come or not. He wants them. He'll draw them. He welcomes them. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. What a wonderful Savior. It is finished. But to validate that to us and to show the world that it's true, that God did accept that, Jesus rose from the dead for our justification. It's a bittersweet story, isn't it? The cross, so bitter, but so sweet, the resurrection. For our justification, delivered for our offenses and raised for our justification. Hallelujah. The work of Jesus has been accepted as the means through which any lost sinner can be saved. How, that's why I love to preach the gospel. Amen. Even to people that don't want to hear it. Because if it just gets inside you enough for somebody to water it down the road, I believe I'm going to see people in heaven that made ugly faces at me in church. I didn't get to see him come to God, but I was part of the sowing of the seed. And honey, I'm going to tell you something. While you're living and you're healthy, everything's just dandy and you feel like you're going to live right on till you're 80 or 90. Amen. You don't think about those things. But one day, if you end up down at death's door, these things that you're hearing right now will be more important than your sin, more important than your money, more important than your fortune, more important than your fame, more important than your flaky friends. Yes, I called your friends flaky because I had some of them before I got saved. I was flaky right along with them. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. I'm not perfect now, but I'm not messed up like that. I don't serve the devil anymore. And if you're looking for a bunch of old sad sack Christian people living in some kind of Christian box, you better look again. Amen. The real church of Jesus Christ is filled with rejoicing, especially today. Hallelujah. We're still here. He's still alive. Glory be to God. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5:21, let me hurry, said, For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Now that's a lot better than just having your sins forgiven. It's being made in God's sight as if we haven't sinned. Justification allows for righteousness. When we're justified, it means the high court of heaven. It's a forensic term. The high court of heaven with the holiest judging of all, a judge that doesn't just listen to what the prosecuting attorney says about us, but a judge that looks directly into our heart, knows everything we've ever said, everything we've ever done, and everything we've ever thought, and knows the intents of the heart. Yes. Has said, based on the blood of my Son, when you ask forgiveness, I grant it.
Hallelujah.
There's no higher court. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. We've been declared righteous because of Jesus' atoning sacrifice at the cross. His resurrection declares that His blood was accepted. We are justified and declared righteous in God's sight. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Isn't that an incredible thing today? Romans 3:24 through 28 says, Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance, His righteousness. It keeps appearing again and again to declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. Where's boasting then? It's excluded. By what law of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we could conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. God has pronounced you righteous. He's put it to your account. The day that you got saved, you got right with God, and that's all that matters. There will be people that will never forgive you and never forget what you've done, but God not only forgives it, He forgets it. He doesn't just declare you righteous. He imputes His righteousness to you.
Hallelujah!
Woo! Oh, yes, He does. Paul said, and being found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, because the only thing I can do is try to live the perfect letter of the law. And no man could ever do that. Oh, but being found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but the righteousness which is of God by faith. Hallelujah. Imputed, put to my account. God not only forgave my sin, He gave me Christ's innocence. You don't look as innocent as Jesus. When I look in the mirror, I say it to myself, and I am not. No person, listen, this is not license to sin or being soft on sin, but you are not sinlessly perfect. You know what John says to Christians? We say we have no sin. We lie. We do not the truth. But if we confess our sin, and we do, He is faithful and just to forgive our sin, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Because He died for our offenses, but He was raised for our justification. Can you say amen? So that blood could be applied through faith. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Abraham believed God, and it was imputed him. Put to his account righteousness. Hallelujah. God not only forgave our sin, He gave us Christ's innocence.
Amen.
What more should we say to these things? Paul said, You can't convince anybody. This is beyond comprehension. And yet it's true. You have to receive it by faith. I don't deserve that. That's called grace. That's called mercy. By grace you're saved. Through faith. It's the gift of God. No man can boast. Where is boasting? I could win 10 million souls, but when I get to the gate of heaven, I can't boast. Can't boast. Why? Because there's only one reason anybody's ever going to be worthy of that place. And that's the grace of God. Can you say amen? That comes through the shed blood of Jesus and His resurrection from the dead. Praise the Lord. There is no boasting. Hallelujah. Romans 5, 1 and 2 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. If God isn't mad at me, it won't do you any good to stay mad at me. Can you say amen?
Amen.
So please don't stay mad at me. I mean, I'd love everybody to love me, but everybody didn't love Jesus. I sure don't expect everybody to love me. Amen. But if God isn't mad at me, we can defeat the accuser of the brethren. We can defeat the devil. We can defeat our own accusing conscience. The Bible said being sprinkled from an evil conscience. You know what that means? The past is the past. The past is the past. As it is written, saith the Lord, I will cast their sins away from them. As far as the east is from the west, and their sins will I remember no more. I will never associate that person with their sins anymore. I don't deserve that. You don't deserve that. Praise God. But that's the gift. It's the gift of God. Righteousness is a gift of God. Hallelujah. Amen. And not only was the resurrection a confirmation and this wonderful declaration, it's a preparation of Jesus to not only be our Savior at that point in time, but to be our intercessor, our high priest. The resurrection has made Jesus our high priest, and it prepared Him to be our intercessor, heavenly executive, and defender of His people. Can you say amen? Romans 8 and verse 34 said, who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died, yea, rather, that was risen again, and is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Wow. See, when he's seated at the right hand of God, he's not just sitting there twiddling his thumb, saying, well, I've got it all done now. Went to the cross, rose from the dead. I showed them all. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I'm just going to sit here. Amen. No, he's got a ministry ongoing. It's all about us, just like the cross. Amen. He did it for us. He rose for our justification. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. Amen. To make intercession for us. Praise God. There's Bobby shaking, standing on shaky ground. There's his faith shaking. There he is discouraged. There he is despondent. Oh, he's not walking it out like he needs to. He's not standing tall as he ought to. He holds up nail-scarred hands. And he makes intercession. We have an advocate with the Father. We have a mediator between God and man. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Christ not only delivers us from bondage to sin, but intercedes in the power of an endless life when we fail. Hallelujah. Amen. Speaking of Jesus, in Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 16 says, who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. Everybody say the power of an endless life. I love Hebrews 7 in closing and trying to hurry here. 23 through 25 and says, and they truly were many priests because they had not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth forever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him, seeing that he ever liveth to maketh intercession for them. Hallelujah. You know what that means right now? That we are not down here left on our own to fend for ourselves, walk it out in our own strength and our own resolve. He is ever living to intercede for you. And that's why when a Christian, the first Christian martyr, you know, he said, I'm seated at the right hand of the Father. I'm going to be, my earthly work concerning what needs to be done to save you has been done. As far as the cross is concerned, I'm going to sit here till my enemies be made my footstool. But when the first Christian martyr is being stoned to death, he looked into heaven. He said, he ain't seated now. Not when my trial is here. Not when I'm hurting. Not when I'm under this kind of pressure. Can you say, man, they were stoning him to death. He looked up and said, I see heaven open. And I see Jesus standing. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. What's he doing? He's not just honoring him. He's interceding to the Father. Give him a special grace. Give him supernatural strength. Give him something that the world knows nothing about. He's getting ready to die a martyr's death, but give him a peace right now. Let him see beyond this world right now. And he looked up and said, heaven is open and Jesus is standing. Hallelujah. Honey, if I could see heaven open and Jesus standing, hit me with your best shot. Hallelujah. Just knock me on out. It changes everything, doesn't it? Everything changes. Poor guy. He says, poor y'all. Can you say amen? Last but not least is realization. You know, the first thing is pardon. You've got to realize. You've got to experience this. Pardon. You know you're saved. You know your sins are forgiven. A living Christ provides repentance, forgiveness, and regeneration. You can meet him, not just hear about him. This is not about a religious system. It's about a man. Come see a man. is the great message of the evangelist. Secondly, there's power. Same power that raised Jesus supplies us. Say, Brother Bim, I can't live the Christian life. True words were never spoken. I can't either. Not in my strength. Paul says, no more I that live. It's Christ that liveth in me. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18 through 20, Paul is praying for the church at Ephesus. He said, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you might know what is the hope of his calling, and the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Listen to verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Paul said, I want you to understand what God is sending forth, amen, to you upon this earth to live this life. Amen. The exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. That's incredible. I mean, to look at some churches and church people, you wouldn't realize we have access to that kind of power. Can you say, amen? Somebody said 12 o'clock is when the church gives up its dead. The little boy went with his daddy to church on Memorial Day, saw that big old flag out there. He said, Daddy, what's that mean? Today they're flying all these big American flags. He said, it's to commemorate those who have died in the service. Little boy said, the morning or the evening? I mean, you know, little boy's telling it like it is. Amen? Listen to Romans 8:11. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. God said what's available to you is what raised him up from the dead. That's available to you to live in your mortal body right here, right now. Hallelujah. There ought to be a little more energy in God's house on Sunday morning. Hallelujah. Ought to be a little more power in the Christian life on Monday. Woo! He wants you to know the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, which we... And how big is that? What exceeding greatness? Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. So that's available to you. To usward who believe. To usward. Heaven says we've got it to fill you up with. Be ye not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye, say it, brother, help me preach. Be ye filled with the Spirit. Hallelujah. Praise God. And last but not least, there's prospect. Prospect. His rising is a guarantee that our bodies will be raised from the dead. 1 Thessalonians, there was just a funeral yesterday, but John, that funeral yesterday, the hope was all based in what we're talking about right here, right now. The Christian hope. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which sleep in Jesus, God will bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Can you say amen? That was the comfort yesterday. Amen. Mom, who trusted Christ, hallelujah, as her personal Savior. is with the Lord, awaiting the resurrection of the body. You say, Brother Bevel, why raise the body if she's already with the Lord? Because Paul said if this earthly tabernacle were destroyed, speaking of our body, he used the word tent that's rendered tabernacle from the actual Greek. Amen. But he's talking about a temporary dwelling place. He said, we have one in the heavens that not made with hands. We don't want to be naked, a spirit without a body, but we want to be clothed on with that body from heaven. And everybody said, tell me about it. And you say, amen. Hallelujah. No aches, no pain, no aging. Praise God. Hallelujah. No death. Praise the Lord. Amen. But God said, that's not enough. No. Death is not totally defeated unless that body that sin had corrupted can be raised incorrupted. So you know what's going to happen at the resurrection? This one is going to come up and our spirit's going to be reunited with this body. Job saw it coming by revelation of the resurrection of the just. His wife said, once you curse God and die, you lost everything that means anything. He said, I know my Redeemer lives. I don't know what's going on in my life. I don't know why all this is happening. I don't know what in the world God is up to. But I know my Redeemer lives. At the last day, He is going to stand upon the earth. And when He does, I'm going to stand up with Him, and in my flesh, though the skin worms eat all my flesh away, when He stands up, I'm going to stand up in my flesh. You say, Brother Venable, if somebody's body decays and the skin worms eat away their flesh, how's God going to reconstitute them? Good question. He's God. He's got your DNA. He don't need a mummified body. Some guy down in Argentina, his wife died. He was so in love with her. He had her stuffed. Sat her in the living room for years. Didn't get his social life went down. Nobody wanted to come and see him. Can you say amen? I mean, that's crazy. They say they stuffed Roy Rogers' horse, Trigger. Stuffed him. Two lions ate up about 25 people in Africa. They stuffed them, and you can go see them in the Smithsonian. However, they don't look very well. I saw their picture. They just don't look well at all. Can you say, man? I don't know. They just didn't do it. I don't know. They just don't look very well. Amen. Listen, some taxidermists are very good. They can make them look almost lifelike. God don't need you to look lifelike. He's got your DNA. Amen. He knew you when you were in the womb and one little old cell multiplied. He knew you at that precise moment. Oh, yeah, the Bible said He knew you while you was in your mama's womb. Can you say, man, hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. He's going to remake this right here. Just like it is, put my eternal spirit right back in it. Put me back here on this planet. We're not going to live up on a cloud and play a harp. I saw the heaven. Oh, if you think you're going to stay up in heaven, better read the book of Revelation. John said, I saw the holy city, the heavenly New Jerusalem, coming down. Out of heaven is a bride adorned for the groom. Wow! God said there's going to be a new heaven. There's going to be a new earth. What sin took away, I'm going to restore. I'm going to have a man like Adam was before the fall. Oh, wow. And I'm going to have a world like it was before sin entered it. Hallelujah. Isn't that incredible? So somebody says, Brother Venable, we don't even know each other, but they think we're going to be little protoplasmic, jelly-looking things floating around in the air or something. That's, can't eat of the tree of life or drink of a river if you're a protoplasm. Can you say, man? Yeah, with my little wings. What a boring. God said, no, we're coming back Him. Glory be to God. Amen. The New Jerusalem's coming down here. Praise God. There's going to be that's a whole other sermon. Don't get me started. The ham is going to be burned if we don't stop soon. But God is good today. I'm going to tell you, we have a prospect. Hallelujah. Because He raised from the dead for our justification. God can now pronounce us righteous. And when I'm in trouble, when I'm having pressure, persecutions, and temptations, my Savior, who is seated at the right hand of God, stands up in my behalf. And Paul said, what more shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Can you say, man, that's the end of the argument. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I want us to say that again. We're still here. And He's still alive. I want you to look over at your neighbor and tell them, we're still here. And He's still alive. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I want you to shout it loud enough that Ophrah can hear it, wherever she's at today. We're still here. And He's still alive. Can you say amen? Tertullian was surprised that the Christian church had survived. But he said the reason they're still here is because He is alive. Hallelujah. And the Christian faith has not died because the leader of the faith is still alive today. Can you say amen? Glory to God. When you stand your feet today, I'm going to ask you a question before this song is played. Are you here today? But you're not alive in Christ today. Of all days, this Resurrection Sunday, you're here, but you don't have, and you know you don't have, eternal life. If God is calling you, because you see, dear friend, He said, no man can come unto me except my Father draw him. And if God is drawing you, please don't tell Him no. Not to something as wonderful, powerful as this. Say yes to Jesus today. If God is calling you to salvation, would you just lift your hand and put it down right where you are? Let Him know that you're willing to receive this wonderful, eternal, powerful gift of salvation. Is there anyone in this room? I need Christ as my Savior. Anyone? As we wait just a holy moment. Is there anyone here that's away from the Lord? You know, and you've been touched by Him, but you've drifted away. But you want to make a decision right now to come back to the Father's house. I'm not talking about the church in and of itself. I'm talking about back to that relationship with Him. Anyone here? Anyone here? Anyone here? Amen. I believe the Lord has spoken. I know He spoke to me today. What a Resurrection Sunday. This is my 40-something all total that I have ministered. And God has been here so powerfully today. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Again, Christians in this room, what this means to you beggars description as much as I've tried to briefly describe some of the results of the resurrection. But do you feel just a little special today because of what He's done in your behalf? I feel very unique. The Bible calls us, Sean, a holy nation, a peculiar people.